So good to see everyone. Some I haven't seen since Christmas. I haven't seen you since Christmas. Hope you had a great Christmas too. And if you are visiting with us, very warm welcome to you. My name's David. I lead the team here, but it's a fantastic team. So many different people involved in different ways. And I want in a moment to take us into our verse for the year. We love the Bible here. The Bible that is God's word to us, and so we just take time to dig into that. And if you don't have a Bible, don't worry. People who've got Bibles, they can just be bringing around. But we've also got the verse for the year up on the screen today, and there's some of these that are available. You might have picked one up with your update, or you can grab one as you leave. But here's our amazing kind of verse for the year that I want us to be reflecting on, and it picks up so much of what we've already been thinking about in this service so far. And here we go. This is what it says. So don't worry, even if you don't have a Bible yet, you've got this up on the screen. We're going to read it together. And it says this: "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." In love. And that's the word that we're going to be unpacking this morning. I want to talk about a vision of freedom, a vision of freedom this morning. So can I just pray and ask that God would open up his word to our hearts this day? Father, you've called us to be free. And so please, Lord, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Thank you, Lord, for all you are doing and all you're going to do. And we look to you. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I imagine most of us at this time of year, we kind of think and reflect on stuff that's gone on last year. And as we look ahead, we kind of think about the shape of the year that's coming. And I don't know about you, but so often at this time of year, as I look back, I can think immediately of the kind of Christmas time. And maybe you don't feel like you've been doing much over Christmas time and this last kind of week. And maybe it's been a great break. I hope it has. But actually, I just want to say that there's something as you look back beyond that, which just I want us to say, you know, we're part of something phenomenal as a church. We're part of what God's doing, and I just wanted to take a moment just to reflect on some of the things that God's been doing, and it's all praise and glory to him. I was thinking about just the number of people whose lives were transformed, who came to Christ, and those who got baptized last year. You know, there were 24 people who got baptized last year through this church, and I just think that's 24 lives who've said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus Christ. And so excited about next week, where 5 people have asked to be baptized next week. So do invite your friends and come along as well. I'm actually really gutted I'm not going to be able to be there, because my best man, and I was his best man, he's having a kind of 40th birthday weekend away with his family and my family. So I can't be there, but please be there to celebrate those amazing baptisms next week. So last year and this year, God's at work. I was thinking about last year as well, and just how you know, the communities that Johnny was talking about, they touch about 800 people on a regular basis across the city. Isn't that amazing? You know, that people's lives are being transformed regularly and coming to Christ. In fact, Matt was telling me that on the 28th, last Sunday, that someone, the end of the year, gave their life to the Lord. I don't know if maybe you hadn't heard that yet. So, hey, isn't that great news? Praise God for his salvation power. I was thinking back to the Alpha at the beginning of last year and how amazing that was, and thinking about the end of the year and those kind of hub, which is our ministry for children, how many folks were touched through the hub. And I was thinking back to last year and the end of the year, when all those cap hampers were there in the sort of offices, and they went out, and I just thought it'd be great if Sue, could you just come forward and can we encourage Sue and just give us a little bit of a feedback on something have happened there. Do you want to come up here, Sue, and then... We so appreciate all the CAP team does as well, and looking forward to all that this year holds. But do just give us a little sense of something that God's been up to.
Hi. Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody who gave something to the cat hampers. They were absolutely amazing this year. They were so big, there were so many of them, along with St. Peter's and St. Cuthman's. We reckon we gave out over 60 hampers to people. And they really do touch people, and they touch their hearts. I've got a few texts that people sent. So somebody said, "Thank you for the hamper. We are blessed to have CAP in our CAP and your church in our lives." Sorry, a bit nervous now. "A big thank you to your team. We were so touched and helped by the contents of your hamper this year, especially as we've been through such difficult times." And there's a family of three generations, including a pensioner and two children, under four, living in a two-bedroom house with virtually no income, and they're able to have Christmas thanks to CAP. It had enough food for 2 weeks for them. So it's been great, and people were really, really touched. And we had to reserve three pews for the candlelight service for CAP clients, and that was great. And after one of the guys asked to pray with Neil about his daughter who was in Egypt and who was ill, and he's just felt so touched. He felt that God really answered his prayers, because the next day his daughter got a flight home and is recovering. So just through the hampers, you know, people see a giving and a sort of loving, and that's really, you know, it's really great. The other thing, I'd just like to thank everybody who's been helping me as I've set up as the new centre manager. It's been really great for the team. They really have gone the extra mile. John Miles delivering a washing machine over the Christmas period. Not just delivering, fitting. That's not an easy job. Neil putting a suit on and going to the benefits office and being successful in getting benefits for people. Really have touched people's lives this year, and that's great. And we've had people come to God. I'm just going to read out one testimony. "I married 8 times, yes, searching for the perfect man, until I realised 9 months ago that there would only ever be one. And we, through our sins, nailed him to the cross. Yes, I'm now debt-free, and if it wasn't for Christians Against Poverty, I'd be traumatised and lost in that quagmire, searching for answers. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my life, rolling away that stone and giving me a second chance through CAP."
Hallelujah.
Neil won't forgive me if I don't say CAP money starts in January the 12th. I'll be at the Connections if anybody wants to go on the CAP money course. And if anybody wants to be involved in CAP this year, there's so many ways you can serve, through prayer, just through anything. You just come up and give me your name, and I'll be in touch. Okay, thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sue. Just so encouraging, isn't it, to hear that? And I think about just last year, how God just brought a spirit of generosity into the church, and those gift aids, both for the city and their persecuted church, but then I was thinking back for the stuff that's going on around the world, and over this past year, God's enabled, again, through just your faith and generosity, just work to go on in places that maybe some here have never been to. Here's Pastor Prabhakar, and just some of the folks that meet in his church, and a school we support nearby. This is the Dalits, the Untouchables, of the lowest caste in India. And you know, that church has been growing so fast there in Varne, near Kalkuntla, near Hyderabad, that they've had to rebuild, they've had to build a new church, and that's almost now just been finished. And you know, God's at work all around the world, and we get the privilege of being a part of it, and all glory goes to Him. So I've just been thinking back and going, wow, God, you're so good. You're so great, and what a fantastic bunch of people to serve the Lord with. And it makes me kind of excited, I have to say, about the year ahead. You know, what's God going to do? You know, could this be the year? Could this be the year where, just as we've seen folks save last year and come to Christ, could this be the year that maybe your friends, who you've been praying for maybe years, come to know Christ and get baptized? You know, could this be the year that just as we've been experiencing such a sweet sense of God's presence on Sundays and at our prayer nights, could this be the year where it's kind of like our prayer nights are like got 100 plus people? And don't forget, tonight is our first prayer night. It's our time to gather and seek the Lord. It's not just that we have to pray. We get to pray. We get to keep doing what we've been doing and meet with God. And I want to say, begin the year with coming for prayer tonight. Could this be the year where God just moves on Sundays in such a way and we start saying, hey, you know what? You're missing something, that this place just gets packed. Could this be the year that in your own life you experience a freedom and a release, maybe from stuff that's been ensnaring you and troubling you and holding you back for years? Could this be the year that as we study Revelation together in our communities and on Sundays, that you get a bigger vision of Jesus that kind of sticks with you for the rest of your life? Could this be the year where this book comes so precious to you that you don't let a day go by without digging into it, that you start a habit that maybe you've not yet got of reading it daily? And could this be the year where you and I and we as a church experience something of God's revival? And our city experiencing something of God's revival. Could this be the year? And I'm thinking, well, God's good. God's great. With God, anything's possible. What are your hopes and dreams for 2015? Well, perhaps sometimes you've kind of come into a year and you've had hopes and dreams, but they've just not been met. Perhaps actually you come into this year and then you're a bit kind of tired of the whole kind of looking ahead with kind of hope, because it feels like last year was difficult and challenging. Or maybe you're so aware of your own struggles and weakness. Maybe you've even come into this year a bit cynical. Well, I want to talk this morning about a vision of freedom. A vision of freedom that isn't about coming into this year with a sense of, right, we're going to try harder and we're going to just do more. No, being free from that. But also coming into this year with a sense of freedom from any kind of pretense that, you know, we can kind of be gung-ho and God's going to do stuff because we're just going to say, right, God, you got to do this, because actually God's not our puppet. And actually we don't deserve his favor or grace, do we? So freedom from pretense. A vision of freedom from us going into next year, this year, 2015, with the kind of guilt from the past carrying with us. And praise God for this special time at communion. A vision of freedom of going into this year ahead without fear. You know, do you ever find you come into the first week of January and there's a bit of a kind of, well, there's maybe some excitement, but there's also, oh, I've got to go back to work. Oh, so many things I've got to do and I've just not been doing them. And actually, how are we going to get back into a routine? Maybe you've got families and you're all used to getting up late and now you've got to get up early for school. And, oh, you know, is there that kind of fear and dread? Is there a way of being free from some of that fear? Yes, there is. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. And you know, it's just one verse. It's a very simple verse. It talks of Jesus coming to set us free. It says this. It says that you, my brothers, were called to be free. That's how it starts. Can we have the verse back up on the screen, Ash? You, my brothers, were called to be free. This is the amazing thing, that Jesus has come and he's calling us and he's saying, come on, experience and walk in this freedom that he's won for us. You, my brothers, were called to be free. And he's echoing words earlier on in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where in Galatians 5 verse 1, I think we've got it again up on the screen here, where it says this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, that Jesus has come as the Savior, the Rescuer. I don't know if you've been watching films over this, Christmas time, maybe one or two. I don't know. We saw this SEO Trot film. Did you see great Dustin Hoffman and Judy Dench? And most films have some kind of redemption or rescue theme to it. And here's this kind of old bachelor, and here's this lady who kind of lives next door, and he's pretty lonely, and there's a whole tortoise thing, which I won't go into if you haven't seen it. But basically, Judy Dench kind of rescues this lonely man from, it's this thing. And I kind of watch sometimes these kind of rescue films or superhero films, and I think, you know what? I like that. Going into 2015 and being a rescuer, I'm going to go and help some folks and save it. And, I look back at all God's done. I think, yeah, come on, we can do this. The only problem is it only takes a few days for me to realize that I'm a rubbish rescuer. And if I go into 2015 just thinking, what can I do? I very quickly get discouraged and cynical. But the thing is, Jesus is the rescuer. He's the Savior. And he's the one who invites us to be free and invites us, come and tell others about this freedom that is in him. He's called us to be free. He's called us to be free. I've been thinking about this little bit at the beginning of our verse for the year. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. And I've been thinking that so much in our world thinks about freedom as a right. And you know what? Whenever there's not freedom, freedom of speech or freedom just living your life, there's real problems in the world, aren't there? And we've seen stuff in the news all about that, even over this Christmas time. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the first 4 articles all mention freedom. But I think there's something in Paul's writing and in Jesus' words when Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Which kind of makes me wonder, is freedom a right, this freedom that Paul and Jesus are talking about? Is freedom a right or is it a calling? Is freedom something we earn or something we receive? And what we see here in Galatians 5 is that we're called to be free. You and I don't come into the new year kind of automatically free and have to kind of try and keep it. And we don't also come into the new year having to kind of earn our freedom. No, we come into the new year listening for the voice of Jesus, the rescuer, who says, hey, come on, Holland Road. Come on, each one of us. Come and be free. Come follow me. Come follow the one who is the freedom giver, the rescuer, the one who came to earth as we were hearing in the Christmas time. The one who in Galatians 4 it talks was kind of born of a woman, born to redeem those who couldn't keep the law by themselves. The one who also in Galatians is talked about as the one who gives his life, the one who died on that cross as we were remembering, and who rose to life. And is victorious and the champion, the one who comes to liberate. There's a whole kind of film just come out over after Christmas. I've not seen it yet. It's Exodus. It's called, I think, it's kind of a bit like The Gladiator. So it's maybe big on the special effects rather than on the kind of spiritual overtones. But I've not seen it yet, so I won't comment much more than that. But here's the thing I do know about the Exodus story, and you can read it in the beginning of the book of Exodus, is that in the Bible, as you read the story, it is an amazing story of rescue. And it's true that God comes and he liberates his people, and he does it because he loves them. And he does it in spectacular ways. And so too the cross is that picture of that liberation. The God of heaven comes down to set people free. And why does he do it? Well, he does it because he loves them. He does it because he loves you and I. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still messed up and not sorted, God loves us. I love that a few years back we had a verse for the year, which was Psalm 18:19, which said, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God rescues us because he delights in us. He wants to set us free. He wants us to live in the freedom that he's got for us. And maybe you're coming into this year and maybe you've never known that freedom. Or maybe that you've come into this year and because of stuff at the end of last year or even the things, the challenges that you're facing as you come into the year, you may be not experiencing that freedom at the moment. So how do we experience it? How do we get that freedom? Well, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. God's calling us to his freedom. So we become free by responding to his call, not listening to all those other voices that Tim was talking about that kind of offer us joy or freedom or peace by getting their thing. We listen to the voice of Jesus and his call that says, hey, come to me, come as you are, come with your sin, come with your problem, come and be free and walk with me, Jesus says. David, come into 2015 and give me your cares and concerns. Come and give me your sin and your problems. Come and give me your hopes and your fears and come and walk with me, the great and mighty rescuer, the one who's got 2015 in his hands and wrapped up and good to go. And he's going into it with amazing confidence because nothing's impossible with God. Come and have your vision raised again, a vision of freedom. I think Matt was talking on December 28th where Jesus says, come to me, all who you are weary, and I will give you rest. Come and walk with me. Work with me. Jesus is saying that to us, church. Hey, come walk with him. Work with him. Come let us follow him. And you know, to do that, often we need to admit that we need him, that we need to follow him, that that's best for us. Responding to his call is a bit admitting our need, that we need a savior. Responding to his call is admitting that he's the kind of leader in this relationship. It's not a kind of equal thing, me and Jesus, and I'll kind of take it and leave it as fits in with me. No, following him is staying close to him. And that's why even though freedom is not something we earn, it's something we receive, yet we can lose our freedom by just not following Jesus. And we find ourselves now enslaved again. We need to heed again his call and respond to him. We need to repent. That means turn and return to the things that God's got for us. So, following Jesus, that's what it is to be free. In fact, here's a little phrase. You could say this with me. Living free is following Jesus. Say that with me. Living free is following Jesus. That's why our main vision as a church is to be those that follow Jesus. That's why I want my brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, and it's so good to see some I've not seen for a while, to kind of draw alongside me and say, hey, David, keep following. Keep looking to Jesus. We need one another. That's why it's good to be back in this place again, week by week. And I encourage you, make this a priority, coming and gathering together with God's people. Make your different communities a priority where we encourage one another to follow him, because living free is following Jesus. Living free is following Jesus. But linked to that call to be free, this is where I want us to then just spend the remainder of our time, is a second call. We're called to be free, but we're also called to serve in love. Look at the next bit of Galatians 5, verse 13. And we got it up here on the screen again. Can we have that verse for the year up on the screen again? Called to be free, but called to serve in love. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Seems that there were people in the Galatian church, and some of them had been really kind of caught up with trying to keep the law, as it were, going into the new year, thinking the solution's going to be, I just try harder. I kind of do it myself. And that verse was kind of speaking to them, saying, look, you guys, it's not about you just trying harder. You need to be free. Free from trying to earn your rescue. And maybe that's a word for some as you come into the new year. But there were some too who were kind of hearing that word and thinking, great, I'll just do what I like. I'll kind of just live for myself and indulge the sinful nature and, be a bit selfish and greedy and proud and sort of put the ego first, as it were. And there's a whole list of what the sort of what that looks like in Galatians chapter 5, the end of the chapter. I just lost it again here now. In Galatians chapter 5, you might know some of this. It says this. It says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot of those things that are kind of associated with Christmas in many people's minds. Discord in families, drunkenness, debauchery, sexual immorality. And you know, sometimes we think, well, God's grace is so amazing, we can just do what we like. And this is what Paul is trying to address. He says, look, it's not about just trying harder, but it's not about pretending that it doesn't matter how you live as well. There's a freedom that calls us to be free by expressing our freedom, not by abusing it by living for ourselves, but by actually using it for serving others. So this sort of little twin thing here is that we shouldn't be abusing our freedom by serving ourselves, but we should be using our freedom to serve others in love. And here's the kind of knockout punch in this verse that we sometimes miss and really hit me hard. I remember about 8 years ago, I was praying with this guy called Alan Rose, and we were thinking about this passage a bit together. And I can't remember whether it was, he showed this to me or I discovered it, and then we started talking about it, and he said, oh yeah, this thing. But this word in the Greek, in the serving word here in our passage, it actually is the word, that's doulos is the word for slave. So get this verse, right? This is our verse for the year. We're called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, be a slave. So really, my points could have been called to be free and called to be a slave. How nuts is that? Don't you think God's word is a bit crazy sometimes? Certainly isn't like the world thinks of it. The second calling is a call to use and express our freedom by following Jesus. And guess what Jesus did? The one who was completely free, the one who knew securely who he was and his identity was, he lived for others, didn't he? That was his life, living for others. And so, folks, we're called to follow in his path, to serve others in love. Following Jesus is living for others. Can you say that with me? Here it is up on the screen. Following Jesus is living for others. So if living free is following Jesus, here's the next thing. Following Jesus is living for others. That's the way we're called to live. When we go into this year, we're not living for ourselves. If we see each other living for ourselves, we should say, hey guys, stop doing that. Live for others. Serve one another in love. And this love theme is absolutely vital. It's like that love is the thing that kind of should infuse all of our service. Because in 1 Corinthians, which we studied but 1 Corinthians 13, it says you can do all this serving stuff, but if you have not love, it's like a clanging gong. And so all that we do, our serving in the night shelter, stuff in CAP, our serving in different areas of ministries, our serving our family, our children, let's do it in love. Let's be free and express that freedom in those places. Because here's the amazing thing about the freedom in Christ that God has won for us and calls us into. It's not dependent on circumstance. When you go back to work tomorrow and your boss is still the same boss and the problems are still the same problems and it's like, this freedom that Christ has won for us, you can experience there. You can serve in love your colleagues, your clients, your boss, because you're serving the Lord. As you go back into the next term, maybe your kids are at school or you're kind of feeling like you're constantly trying to get them ready and do stuff and help them. And you can go into it in freedom because it's not dependent on circumstances, because you're serving them in love. That's how you're expressing your freedom. You know, as you maybe got small children, you feel like you're drowning in nappies. You can find freedom again in Christ and know that as you serve children, your family, your elderly relatives, that all of those can be an expression of freedom. Because actually the thing we're freed from is from living from ourselves, from being a slave to sin. freedom that you can enjoy anywhere, anytime, a freedom that's heeding the call of God, a freedom you can even enjoy in prison. Isn't that an amazing thing? Because it's about being free to be a slave. And when you see people like that, see people who are operating in very difficult circumstances, but they're just serving, you look at them, you think, you've got an amazing freedom about you. And Holland Road, brothers and sisters, it's our calling this year to find and experience and express this freedom in Christ by serving others in love. That's why our vision as a church is not just following Jesus, but remembering that following Him involves us doing things for others, reaching out, being an extended family, doing everything in love. That's all part of what it is for us to be a church people working together. And you might have seen this kind of free logo around. It's on the back of your kind of verse for the year card. I've even got a little few sort of business cards that you can put in your wallet, and a few questions on the back that you can help spur each other on in this as we go through the year. This is our vision, to be free as a church, not to live for ourselves, but to live for God and for others, following Jesus, reaching out, being an extended family, and doing everything in love. And it's possible because God has given us supernatural resources to do it. He set us free from having to be worried about what other people think of us, set us free from comparison, set us free from guilt and fear, because He's poured His love into our hearts. He's given us His Spirit that we know He's our dad, He's our Abba, and that we can live and walk in the freedom He's won for us. I love this John Piper quote. If you've got a pen and paper, you might want to write this down. He's a pastor in Minneapolis, and he says this. He says, love is motivated by the joy of sharing our fullness. The works of the flesh or the sinful nature are motivated by the desire to fill our emptiness. You see, as we come to Jesus, as we hear His calls, we believe in Him, He fills us. We go into tomorrow, we go into the rest of this day, this year, full. Pray, God, may you leave full today. Full to overflowing, that love would then be wanting to share our fullness and the joy of doing that with others, whoever they might be, rather than feeling like we're leaving with this emptiness that must be filled by getting or needing something else. It's this amazing thing that when God puts that Spirit of love in us, really, there's all kinds of things you can do. All kinds of ways you can serve. Tons of them. Hundreds of them. Every day, every moment. In fact, St. Augustine, who was a kind of fourth century early church father, really amazing writings, he wrote this. He said, love and do what you want. How about that for a little vision for the church for this year? Guys, let's be full of God and full of His Spirit, full of the Spirit that loves, and then just do what you want. Because what you'll want to do will be to serve others in love, because you'll be full of the agape love of Christ. And so, you know, this year, you know, I'm not too fussed whether you serve in this way or that way or here or there, but I am fussed that we serve. We serve one another with the love that God puts in our hearts. And I tell you what, there are so many ways you can serve. I've heard about a few with the night shelter, and it was great. That started last year. And there are people who have been coming who were part of that night shelter. We were serving them, and now they've been coming through the year and even want to join us in serving the next line. Isn't that cool? You know, we're serving in CAP, or, you know, there's folks who've been doing the sound today. You can serve as part of the PA team, or serve as part of the band. Get talking to, you know, Tim, or anyone with a red t-shirt. Go and talk to them and say, you know what, I'd like to serve with the children. And they'll introduce you to Matt. He's out the back with the kids now, and you could get serving as part of the children's team. Or maybe you can serve middle of the week, and you need to, again, find in the connections desk a community that you can serve with, because the communities are so often reaching out and serving in different ways. How can you serve this year? Have you found your place where you can serve, because it kind of brings us alive? We kind of experience a freedom as we serve that kind of goes, oh, wow, this is what we're made for. For this relationship with God, whereby we follow Him in what He's doing of reaching and touching and loving and serving our world. One of the amazing things for me this past sort of 6 months or a year is that I've been trying to use that question, you know, how can I serve you, a bit more with even other church leaders. And some of them I've known well over the years, and there's been a few leaders who are in quite difficult situations in different churches across the city, they're smaller congregations, but just wanting support and encouragement. And so I've just sometimes said, how can I serve you? And often it is just by encouragement. But it's been amazing as those doors have opened up, other ways that we've been able to serve them as a church. And, you know, you might not know, but Mike and Sarah were at Port Slade on sort of Christmas morning, because Mike was leading the kind of service there on Christmas morning at Port Slade Baptist Church with Phil Cook. And before Christmas, the Hangleton community were going out with the people from Oasis and inviting people to carol services, both here and there. And Andrew, as a pastor at Oasis, has just been so encouraged by just encouragement and people standing with him. And Tyler in Centre Church, which meets in Kemptown, is been so thankful this past year or 6 months or so. And Phil Duke's been in the afternoons, been going there and encouraging them as they've started a kind of fresh cafe style service to reach out into Kemptown. Praise God, eh? And Julian, who spoke at one of our leaders' days last year, he's been so encouraged by, as he serves God in Molescombe at New Life Church, by just that kind of partnership, Julian Ribera. And you know, these guys, towards the end of last year, we'd just been praying and exploring how could we deepen partnership. And we signed a covenant together as church leaders to say we're going to serve one another and encourage one another to serve our city, to reach out. We're going to partner together for the sake of mission more effectively in our city. And we're going to explore what that looks like. We're going to pray together as leaders. In fact, we're going to at times encourage these churches together to pray and to keep partnering with other churches in the city. Praise God for partnerships like with St. Peter's and CCK and in different ministries across the city. But, those partnerships with those guys in those smaller churches have actually been quite a sweet thing over this past 6 months. And not this prayer night this week, but next month we're going to actually have our prayer night at Oasis, and all those other four churches are going to get their guys to come along too, and we're going to pray together for our city. How cool is that? I'm looking forward to it. But you know, one of the things that I'm challenged by is I get excited about some of this kind of stuff, and then I kind of come into the year and Laura comes up to me, and she's been doing some reflecting on the new year, and she kind of goes, how can I serve you better, David? How can we serve the kids better? Because she's been just thinking about the new year and thinking, you know what, actually, as we go into the new year, actually to have that question, how can I serve you, is going to help unlock that. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm so challenged by that. Because actually it's in those places at home, with your colleague, with your neighbor. That's where the rubber so often hits the road. And you know, she says, so often the small things, you know, for the kids, getting them an alarm clock so they can get up better, and an extension lead so that light works. And, you know, and actually, it's so often in the small things that seem small to us but actually make a big difference to people that you can serve. You know, you might think actually helping out with the teas and coffees after a Sunday morning, it's like it's such a small thing. It can make a big difference to people. Have someone pass them a cup of tea and a smile and say, how are you doing? I don't think we've met before. Can I help you? What's your name? You know, might think, well, if I'm only able to do once a month serving with the children, it's such a small thing. Hey, it might make a massive difference to a child's life. How can we follow Jesus? Join with him in not living for ourselves, but living for others, serving in love. Hey, that's exciting vision of freedom for this year ahead. Being so free as Holland Road, free from fear and guilt and all those other things, that sense of trying to kind of earn our way, that we're able to be slaves. Slaves of others. Slaves in love for the sake of Christ. So I keep wanting to know, just how can I serve you better? And I just want to keep asking, how can I, praying for you, how can I encourage you? And I know as I think about that, that one of the things is praying that you come into this year knowing that freedom. heeding the voice of Christ, following him, living not for yourself but for others, and spurring you on in that, saying, come on, church, come on, guys, let's live for him. So I'm just going to get us to pause, to be still, to come and ask again that God would just set us free to live for him and for others. Fill us with his Spirit. We can't do this without his Spirit. His Spirit is what enables, it gives us that power to love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You might just want to echo these words in your heart. Lord, I need your freedom. I want to be free this day, this year. I hear your voice, your call, Jesus. Calling me to be free, calling me to follow you. And I want to say yes, Jesus. Yes, I turn from everything else and I turn to you. To follow you. Free from trying to earn my salvation and free from living for myself. And I want to pray, put your Spirit within me, Lord. Put your Spirit within us. Fill us to overflowing. That we might have that love that enables us to live for others and serve them. So, Lord, we come and we drink deeply of your Spirit. We receive.